Welcome to The Endless Spiral, a podcast dedicated to unraveling the intricate threads of mental health, exploring the profound depths of the human mind, and shedding light on the often turbulent journey towards well-being. In each episode, we embark on a thoughtful exploration of the challenges, triumphs, and evolving narratives surrounding mental health. Join me as we navigate the labyrinth of emotions, share personal stories, and engage in insightful conversations with experts, advocates, and individuals who have weathered their own storms. In this episode, I'm delighted to say that we are joined by Emma Keogh. Emma is an empowerment and life coach, as well as being a mindfulness teacher. She's also the host of her very own podcast called Empower with Emma. Emma, like myself, has had a very interesting last few years on her journey of self-discovery, from transitioning from one career to another, where she has found her passion and true calling by helping and inspiring people. I hope you like this episode. Hello, Emma Keogh. Thank you so much for giving up your time a second time to give this podcast a go. Thanks very much. I do appreciate you kind of having some patience with me, because I know, obviously, I said I had a problem with the audio the last time, which I did. Now, the problem was there was no audio, because I obviously forgot to hit record. So we're back.
Yeah, but these things like happen, and it's just like, no offense, I always say like life gets in the way, shit gets in the way, and you know, when things happen like that, like, it's okay. I always say everything is figure outable. And yeah, like, thank you for having me on your podcast, Keith. And I always think, you know, it's nice just to kind of like jump onto other people's podcasts and, you know what I mean, have a chat, you know, and talk about things that sometimes aren't talked about, and to spread some light and some tips and advice along the way of other people's journey to help them.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Because I know, like, even we spoke the last time, and we'll speak about it again this time, but like, we're very similar minded, and we've kind of had similar experiences. Our, you know, life journeys are always different, but our experiences and what we've gone through have been similar. So I think it'd be quite good to just kind of get a male and female kind of perspective on something, especially the body stuff, where a lot of times it doesn't get spoken about, especially with men. And it'd be good to kind of get your opinion on men, and I'll kind of give you mine. And I just think that is quite important as well, you know, because it doesn't get spoken about enough.
Huge. And I totally relate, because even when I listen to you on Claude's podcast, I was like, oh my God, there's actually a man that I can listen to and relate to about their body image. And it actually did bring back a lot of flashbacks for me when I was listening to you. I was like, oh my God, number one, you're the power of vulnerability as well, especially from a man's perspective, because you think they're going to be, you know, they're not going to think like women or suffer for, like, you know, with their body image or have those thoughts as well. So when I was listening to your podcast, I related so much to it, because, you know, I would have got bullied when I was younger, and I would have been a lot heavier when I was younger. Those thoughts of, you know, being in a dark place and constantly looking at yourself all the time, up until, no joke, I'd say, Keith, only about not even a year ago, and I'm 37 now. Everyone thinks I am a confident person, but we all have our insecurities and our hang-ups with our body as well. So even when I listened to your podcast about it, I was like, oh my God, like, this is so empowering. And like, we need to talk about this more from all genders, you know, that way, because we're all suffering in some sort of way. But how to just accept it, and how to work on it, and how to, you know, be more self-aware with our own doubts and our negative thoughts, and own it, but know that it's okay. Because, like, you know what I mean, it's not all, like I say, love and light. It is love and shite at the same time. And like, you know what I mean, we have to start, you know, being so much more compassionate and kind towards ourselves, and talking to ourselves like we would a best friend. So when I did hear what you were talking about, it did definitely teleport me back to that stage. And I'd say only up until last year, it's just that constant worth, not knowing your worth. And I my weight was my worth. Being honest, my weight was my worth. I was like, oh, I'm just that fat girl, or I'm a curvy girl, or, you know, who'd look at me, or I can't wear that. Like, all these stories in my head, like, for basically my whole life.
Yeah, I know. I mean, when I did the Claude's podcast, like, you reached out to me kind of straight away, and Like I was, obviously you would have been unfamiliar with my story and I was unfamiliar with yours, and I looked it up and I looked you up and I was just kind of like, it just kind of, it kind of hits home that you don't have to be like I suppose body image or mental health struggles, there's no gender for that. It's like male, female, tall, short, it doesn't matter who you are, what you look like or what age you are, you can all have the same kind of struggles. And I thought that was kind of what hit home for me. Because I spoke to someone else on you recently, and they said to me that they hadn't, because I was went on his podcast, and he said, "I've never heard anyone else, well, any other man speak about body dysmorphia." He said, "Never even heard, never heard," and I had never heard anyone before. You know, had you?
No, I had never heard of that at all, and I think that's why I resonated with it so much, because like it's not talked about enough from a male point of view as well, do you know, that way, because you don't think they're gonna, it's always like, you know, I've seen you on other podcasts like talking about, oh, like have you taken steroids, have you taken creatine, it's always about building muscle, looking bigger, going to the gym. It's not about the other struggles that we have with our mind as well, do you know, that way. And it's like, it's really hard, but at the same time, it's so nice to actually hear from another point that we're like, oh my God, we're actually all in this together. And it's, and like your thoughts are very similar to my thoughts on what we were thinking, being like, it can be something so small. 'Cause you were talking, I think you were talking about your arms, right?
I'm talking about everything, yeah, but I talk
No,
about my
you were like, my
wrists.
arms and this, and I was like, oh my God. And there's always some sort of focus point. Like my focal point would have been always like my stomach. And I'm like, oh my God, I can't wear this, I can't wear that. But like, it's the whole vision we have of ourselves and the perception we have of ourselves and listening to that. But when you actually get outside your own head and start looking at, and I said this, I think, on one of my podcasts, was like, do an exercise where ask people what they think of you, how they see you, because, and embody that, because that is you, and your weight is not your worth. And like, people are going to remember you always for how you made them feel, not what you look like.
Yeah, I think, yeah, and you're 100% right, but I think at least I can do that now. Before, you might have been the same. It wouldn't have mattered what someone said to me, because if I don't believe it, it makes no difference.
No, yeah, and I was the exact same. I only till about like a year or two ago. That's honestly like, and I'm a real sensitive person, and from being bullied, or you know, there was like, if you were a size 10 or under, like, sorry, if you were a size 10 or over growing up, when I was growing up, like you were fat, like that's what you were called, like fat was thrown around. And that, even that word is so triggering for me. Like, what is fat? You know what I mean? Because like, everybody's body is different. So no matter what size you were, if you were like a size on the cusp of a 12 plus, like you were fat. And I remember even in Topshop, they'd only go to a size 14 for a woman. And I felt, and I would have been like a size 16, 18 at the time. And I remember, or even going bigger. And I remember just going like, I just want to fit into that size 14 to feel accepted, to feel accepted over my body. But at the same time, I did need to re-educate myself on, because growing up, we weren't educated on what was healthy, what to eat. You know what I mean? It was like fish fingers and mashed potatoes, like, you know, that way. But like, it's like I had to re-educate my whole self. Like, so I lost like 5 stone through Weight Watchers. And that was a really good tool for me at the time to educate myself. I have brought some of the stuff with me, but at the same time, the scales trigger the fuck out of me, right? So this is huge. So I actually, it took me years to let go of the scales and measuring my worth on what weight I was. And it was just horrible. Like, even like the word, like, even there's so trigger words, like people don't realize that, like, even though both of us can be like positive and like a shiny penny, like I can't let those thoughts creep in, because I'm like, no, we are not going there. We are better than that. Like, where before, every day, even I'd say up until, I'd say near mid COVID, because I was going through a really horrific breakup, you'd be measuring yourself, you know what I mean? As in, like, I'd weigh myself for every few weeks or every week and watching my calories, you know, as you do, because I was, or whatever, I always label myself. Like, I'd look at something and put on weight, but I do realize that's from my cortisol levels, from flight or flight, from how I was living in myself outside of the weight. And now I'm fixing that more consciously. But before that, I didn't know how to fix that. I was just like, go to the gym, get the steps in, eat your calories, blah, blah, blah. And that's what you're told. But it's actually your mind as well. Your mind is the biggest tool that you need to overcome.
But that's exactly it. And people be sick of me using this phrase. I'll have to get a new one. But I always say I used to work out or exercise or eat whatever to affect how I looked. But now I do it to affect how I feel. And even just saying that out loud kind of makes sense. But when you're in that mindset at the time, it doesn't make sense. Do you
Oh.
know what I mean? But like, come here, listen. Do you know what so people always say to me, so like when I talk about the body issues or body dysmorphia
Yeah.
or even the way with body dysmorphia, the term for a minute. Just your body issues or the way you look or how you think you look or how it affects you. But people always ask me kind of like when, like everyone has insecurities at times. So when does that turn into, I mean, I know it is for me, so I want to ask you, when does that stop just being insecurities and start turning into life-defining issues that go with you everywhere?
When you let it control your behaviors and your actions throughout every single day.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Yeah.
So obviously your thoughts, so I'm a mindfulness teacher as well, your
Yeah.
thoughts are going to activate your feelings, and how you feel then is going to activate your behavior and your actions. And then what then is going to what then is going to activate that is the outcome. So learning those tools that I have been learning and educating myself on has helped my mindset so much, because I can totally relate to you, where for years, Keith, I would have been so focused on my physical aspect, like just going to the gym. I'm doing it to make, to feel good in my mind, but just getting the gym done. And that was that. But at the same time, I was educating myself on my emotional and my mental and my spiritual side. So then even lately, I started to focus on another aspect. So I was in hospital there, pre-Christmas with my stomach, and I was like, I feel I just need a bit of a shake up here, like, with my own self, like there's something not working here, and this is my body telling me it's not working. So then I revisited that again, and I don't drink caffeine, and it's about
At
my
all.
hormone, cortisol. No, I don't drink caffeine. And I had a cacao in the morning, or if I have decaf coffee if I want or whatever like that. And I'm doing breath work, I'm doing more yoga, but I'm feeling more in control of like my mind and my body and all those things. But before, I'd wake up, have my coffee, go to the gym. I would do my mindfulness walks, I do everything, but it's changing how you are changing in that pace of your life. Because I think for me, I constantly thought I had to do a certain thing a certain way to feel a certain way. But you don't. You can always alter it because you're always changing. So you have to change everything else as well.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So the let's kind of have a look at the kind of the Emma that was before and the Emma that is now.
Yeah.
So, because we were saying like you obviously, you retrained yourself, but and then I know we talked about before, and I want to talk about again with stress and that you'd like you nearly said before you were addicted to stress or you would bottle things up or you would, all those type of things. So like, how has that changed? Or maybe if you want to explain what the old Emma used to be like compared to now.
Oh yeah. Okay, so the old Emma. So, and this is like, say, a few years ago. Let's go back 5 years, okay? So
Right.
pre-COVID, I would have been working, would have got up, had a cup of coffee, went to the gym, constantly in my own head, people pleasing, not, a bit of boundaries, but trying to cram as much as I could in a day, like, get up, go to the gym. It was like that thing with Lady Gaga, club, another club.
Yeah.
But literally working throughout the day, then I'd be like, oh, I'll go see a friend, see my nana, do the food shop. And I was like pumping up Instagram, like bam, 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 like frantic. Do you know what I mean? I wasn't living in the now. I wasn't living in the present. I was just doing things to achieve things to keep my mind busy. Then I hit, literally COVID hit, and I went through a really, really bad breakup. Like, I mean, I'm not going to go into it too much, but my ex was cheating on me. We had a house together. We were planning so much. And I know, like, there was no one there. Like, I literally kicked him out, like, and I had a house on my own. And then my sister was moving in at the time. COVID hit. I was on my own. She was moving in. And I remember being on the floor going, like, what the fuck am I doing? Where am I going? Like, roaring, crying. That was my breaking point. Like, I literally was a shell of myself. So this is not even weight. This is just in general. So that went on for a while. And I just was surviving. And I used to always say, to get, and if anyone's in a dark place as well or going through hard times, I always just have one thing a day. So just for today, I always say, I'd be like, just for today, I'm going to have a shower. Just for today, I'm going to make myself food. Just for today, I'm going to go for a walk. So I was just doing one thing a day and not putting pressure on myself. Because I thought then this COVID break was going to be like, oh, I'm going to get into yoga. I'm going to be the best version of myself. I'm going to lose weight. That was the old frantic Emma coming in being like, you have to maximize COVID now. And like, you know, revenge body and like do all these things. But then the other person was like, you have to be kind. You have to open up. You have to slow down. This is your time to ask for help and support because you are going through turmoil on top of COVID. So it took an awful lot of time. And then a few months passed and I was like, I want to actually start getting out of my own head and just trying to learn to be a bit more grateful and live in the now. And I saw a course that was going to be, we thought we were going to be in the class, but I read a book. I was reading Daniela Moyle's Jump. And I love her vulnerability in it. And she was talking about Alison Canavan, mindfulness. And I was like, that's it. I was like, that's what I need to do. That's the course as well. Because I'm a life coach as well, but I wanted something a bit more calming. And it was a mindfulness course for about a year. And I was like, okay, I'm going to do that. Because instead of focusing constantly on the past and getting anxiety about the future, I wanted to just learn to actually live more in the moment. And started doing that. Didn't realize it was a teacher course. And I was like, okay. And I started to just start, you know, I was journaling. I was started to journal prior to this. I'm a big journaler. And even learning, my, like, you know, mindfulness and how to be more present and aware. And, you know, you have the power over your thoughts and you are not your thoughts and facts aren't, you know, so much. I was like, wow, like this is mind blowing. Where people think mindfulness is just like, I'm just here right now. Yeah, it is so much more to that. So even like learning to respond to a situation, not to react, learn to get outside your own head, learning to write things down, learning to have compassion and kindness towards yourself. So I started doing these things, practicing. I always practice what I preach. Well, I try to.
Yeah.
And all these little habits start, like, you know, I just started layering on little things and I was more aware of how I was thinking on the inside, on my head. I started being more vulnerable and talking about my feelings and how I was feeling. Because before, I'd be like, I could be having the worst day, stressed out in my head, and be like, everything's fine, everything's amazing. Yeah, I'll be there. Yeah, I'll do that. Yeah. Where now I was like, no, I can't do that right now. And I was learning to say no. I was learning to give back to myself. I was learning to be selfish. Even selfish, the word is like, we have to put ourselves first before we put other people. Selfish even is like, it's real like, oh, you're being mean, but it's actually not.
It's just boundaries.
Yeah, it's boundaries. So I started doing that. And then I'd say through the work that I'm doing and through my other courses and, you know, all that, I'm taking all these tools and then I'm connecting with other like-minded people like yourself and within the industry, opening up, showing my authentic self. Do you know what I mean? And taking my stuff on board. And it's not being like, oh, I have my shit together. No. I think what works for me is being like, hey, I've been through hard times. I'm still learning. I'm on that journey with you. I'm sharing what I've learned with you. And I'm taking things on board, what I'm learning, to help me in this moment.
Yeah, this was so many things you just said in there. Is like, obviously I can relate to just about all of them, but yeah. I think since we started chatting a while ago, I don't mean today, I mean like before, I've really started to embrace gratitude. And it's because I was like, couldn't you talk about it so much? And obviously I was aware of it and I did it a little bit, but I've really started to kind of embrace it more, because I think when you're in that mindset for so long, it's hard to be grateful for anything. So I've definitely started to embrace gratitude and even the people pleasing thing. I mean, it's going back to where you were before. I was as well. And I think that just can cause resentment on both sides as well. And then when you start to implicate, or not implicate, but kind of put in place your boundaries, it is a little, like you can kind of look at it as being a little bit selfish, but it's not really. It's people on the other side will benefit from that as well. Because if you just say yes to everything, the resentment will build. But when you're kind of like putting boundaries in place and you're doing things that you want to do, or you feel that will benefit you as well, it just makes everything so much better. And then the last thing I want to mention is what you just said about compassion as well. mean, Jesus Christ Almighty, the compassion thing is just has that's hard to build for yourself. It's fucking
Huge.
hard, isn't it? Because
Oh,
we both
yeah,
know we didn't have
Everest.
it before.
Yeah. It's like climbing Everest, being like, oh shit, here we go.
Exactly. Yeah. And you think to yourself, okay, I might fall, but I might also get to the top and look at the gorgeous view that's on
Yeah.
top. So, where before you'd be like, well, that's too far up. Fuck that. I'm not doing that. I'll just sit here and be miserable at the bottom for a while.
Yeah,
You know?
literally. And that's what I was living in. Like, I didn't realize that, like, for years, even like being a critic or criticizing other people when I was younger, now that's a reflection of where you're at in your life. Like, you're obviously criticizing someone because obviously they have something you want, or you're jealous, or you don't know, or it's a wound, or whatever it is. But one big thing for me, and 80% of the population aren't, is awareness. Self-awareness. It's being
Massive.
aware of your thoughts, being aware of your emotions. You're kind of like standing outside yourself from a bird's eye view, and you're realizing how you can show up for not only for others, but for yourself. Like, so a big thing is that what I do now, over the last, I check in on myself. I wake up every morning and I go, how are you? What do you need today? How do you feel? What's today going to be? So I always check in on myself, you know. And I mean, this is people who listen to this who are like, you know, parents, whatever, you know, check in on you. Just be like, how do I feel? And out of 10, just be like, rate yourself out of 10. Be like, how do I feel today? And it's, you have the power to turn that around. That's the thing. Like, we always have the power to turn a frown upside down, but it's okay to sit in that as well. It's honor your emotions. So for me, if I had a bad day, you know, when I was the old Emma, I'd just brush it off, or I'd let it get to me, and I'd let it fester, and I'd snap or whatever. And now I sit in it. I go, okay, what's wrong? Why am I feeling like this? What's triggering me? I understand my emotions, and I go, what do I need today? So whether that's, you know, just a chill day, a cry, a phone call, what do you need? And then after that, then it's either sitting in it for the day, and tomorrow's a new day, or and honor your emotions and your feelings instead of brushing it down, which I used to do, or that it's gone, okay, do I want to turn this around? And this is, I need to let it go. I need to let it go because it's not really something, you know? So it's asking myself all these questions as well in my own head. Like, and a big thing then, what mindfulness is like, you're just being mindful of everything you're doing. And what a big thing is, like, the people around you. You know, who are your support systems? You know, who are those people that you talk to? What's your environment like? You know, do you need to get out more often? Like, you are in charge of your own happiness. So you don't have to put up with something or settle with something or whatever like that. And I know we were talking about this, like, you know, nearly last time, like the last few months, I went through a breakup, and it's like, it's so hard because you don't really want to do it, but you don't want to settle, because at the end of the day, me now, I come first. I'm not anyone's passenger. Like, I'm in the driver of my seat. And it took me a long time to realize that, because I measured my weight over my worth and was kind of like, oh, it's grand. Like, you know, where now I'm like, no way.
And it is just going back to what you talked about at the beginning. You just said it again there, your self-worth, isn't it?
Yeah, 100%. Because, like, I think a lot of us struggle with that. Like, you know, even for me, like, you know, I will still have times that that'll come up and you'll doubt yourself. It's absolutely human. It's normal. Like, but like, your self-worth, you're not good enough. And how we were raised, like I said the last time, how we were raised by our parents, you know, everything was brushed under the rug. You didn't talk about emotions. You know, if you didn't get an A plus in your test, it was like side eye, what the hell? So that shaped you and conditioned you as a human being. So then you're obviously going to overachieve and feel like you're not good enough because of your upbringing. So then what I was saying, I think I said in the last when we were chatting, I had to reparent myself. I had to recondition myself, therapy, reparenting, how I looked at things because of all that. Like, do you know what I mean?
I had to do it as well. I only wrote a blog the other day, and it was about embracing setbacks. And I always say that exactly what you just said a few minutes ago about kind of acknowledging your feelings, but even just embracing a bad day.
Yeah.
Because if you bottle it up and you try and get through it, that's when it'll start to kind of move on to the next day and the next day and the next day. So like now what I'll do is if I'm having a bad day, I'll act exactly what you just said, acknowledge it. And even sit
Yes.
in it for the day. And then I'll say to myself, if I want to have a rest today, well, fuck it, I'm going to have a rest.
Yeah.
And then exactly what you said earlier on as well, like just so similar, where like I'll just break up the day into little small manageable tasks. So you're not feeling overwhelmed. Just have a shower, get something to eat, whatever the hell it is, but break it up into little manageable tasks so you don't feel overwhelmed. And then also, again, I just keep coming, you were saying the facts. No, what's it? Feelings aren't facts.
Thoughts aren't facts.
Thoughts aren't
Your
facts,
thoughts
yeah.
are not facts. Like, and that's what I always say. I'm like, unless you have a fact about something, then that's just a thought, and you think of it as a cloud and you let it drift by. Don't let that consume you. Do you know what I mean? Because it's not real. This is the thing. Like, we live with perception as well. But then I'm like, where is the fact that backs that up? So that's one thing for your listeners to think of. Is that a fact or is it a thought? Differentiate which one. And then if it's just a thought, be like, see you later. If it's a fact, which more or less it's not. It's not real.
No, it's not exactly. So let's have a look at your day then, right? So say you're having an amazing day. What would be your day? So I know you have your social media and all your other stuff, but just in general, so what would you do in the morning, say, and to kind of get yourself at least on the right start of a day?
Yeah, and like I was saying, I've really changed my day around as I grow as well, because I do think, you do grow through what you go through, and you have to adapt, your mind, and you have to adapt your body of where you are at right now. Because going to the gym and a cup of coffee every single day for 40 years isn't always going to work for you, hypothetically. So my morning, I do believe in morning and evening routines, because it just sets me up. Because a big thing for me, which I've been saying in my classes, is like, instead of seizing the day, ease into the day.
I
So
remember all these sayings from the last one.
yeah, you do. So ease into the day. So I wake up in the morning, I drink cacao now, I have a bit of breath, I do some breath work, and I just sit there if I want to journal or anything like that for a few minutes, and then I'm going to yoga. I come back, I'd be working, I'd either be doing stuff on social media, I've clients, if I'm recording a podcast, admin, website. I do it all by myself, setting up workshops, everything, planning classes. And then the evening time, get out for a walk. I try to get out to nature every day, and I'm very grateful that I know this is not everyone's ideal day. Do you know what I mean? Like, because I work for myself, I'm able to have this flexibility, which I'm so grateful for. Then the evening time, if I'm winding down, I'd always light my candles, my incense. I'm all about my senses and tapping in on my environment and making that nice for you. So then you can like unwind into bed. Do you know what I mean? You're unwinding. Where I was actually talking to a guy, and he was like, "I can't sleep." He was like, "I'd be up the walls." It was I was at the Be Kind event, and it was Meg Ren's boyfriend, and he was like, "I'd be worried. Like, I just get into bed and I can't go to sleep." And I'm like, "Well, do you have like?" Do you watch the telly? Do you switch off your phone? He was like, "No, I just jump in." Like, and I was like, "But you're not preparing your body to go asleep. Like, you're not unwinding. Do you know what I mean? Like, you're not kind of like bringing it down, decompressing." He was like, "Yeah." I said, "So try like set the tone for a half an hour before your bedtime, whether it's like no phone, no TV, just reading a book, or just your candles, your incense, you're feeling relaxed. Like, do you know what I mean? You're tapping into that feeling that you want to feel." So for me, in the morning, I want to feel like calm, because I lived in fight or flight for my whole life. I only got my cortisol and my blood done this time last year, and my cortisols were through the roof, my hormones, everything.
Wow,
But I was
okay.
still doing things what I needed to do. And I was like, no, there's something, my body is not right. And then my stomach, everything like that. So I was like, even though I work in wellness, I still have issues, from past things. So I just realized that I had to adapt. I wanted to be more calm in the mornings instead of being activated. So that's why I've changed my routine now. And it is hard, but then once you get into it, it's so nice, because it's giving you not only a sense of control, but you do control how you want to feel.
Yeah, exactly. I want to go back to something you said a few minutes ago, because we might as well just get into this now. But the minefield out of social media, I'll go back to what you were just saying there a second about your routine, but it kind of just dawned on me a few minutes ago. You mentioned social media earlier on, and obviously you used to do, well, I know you still do the kind of the fashion stuff on your social media, and I know you used to do that as a living. But like, how do you find social media? Because obviously it can be a bit toxic. It can be up and down, and then obviously you have to manage kind of negative stuff now. How do you deal with it?
Well, very fortunately, I don't really have any toxicity and I don't have any of that. Like, I'm very, very fortunate that the people who follow me are such beautiful people. You might get the odd one or two, but being honest, I don't feed into that because that's a reflection of themselves. And then, as well, is like what you focus on grows. I'm not giving that attention or energy, like, whatever. As much as it would hurt, I'm just like, whatever, like, do you know what I mean? But I'm very fortunate. I have a beautiful community, and you know, I do a little bit of fashion here and there, but I'm more kind of focused now of like everyday life, being relatable. I still show, you know, like photos, going out, whatever, because like one thing for me, which I wanted to focus on, and I think I'm, you know, focusing on it well now, was balance. I didn't have balance, Keith. Like, even I remember going to therapy and she was like, Emma, it sounds like to me you need more balance in your life. And I was like, oh my God, yeah. Because I thought I had to be like pumping the social media all the time, then trying to be this, you know, wellness person, did a little bit. And then I was like, do you know what? It's just about having balance. You can show you're going out, but you can still show you're having a balanced lifestyle. You can still show parts of you. I found that really overwhelming at the start. Like, do you know that way? I'm not going to lie. I'm like, I feel like I'm two people here. I can't do constantly the fashion and then constantly do this and little, little, little. And then I was like, you know what? It's just about showing bits of everything. So then you're more relatable to people. You're a normal person. You know what I mean? And at the same time, you're able to help and inspire others. Do you know what I mean? So that was something that I had to gain perspective and a bit of clarity on. Therapy helped me a lot with that. And then just kind of standing out my own self and kind of getting out my own head, to be honest.
Did you feel vulnerable having to put out, not having to put out, but kind of putting out a more of a real authentic side of you as well? Like, did you feel pressure to just want to put out positive, happy, aren't I always in a great mood stuff?
100%. I just felt I was like, that's what people want, and that's just me, and blah blah blah. And I remember seeing something someone showed me online about you can't always be so positive, like, you know, there has to be a negative side. Of course, you're going to say that because you're just dying to know a bit of crack, but I'm very private about certain things in my life, and I don't see social media, like, I don't see myself as like any pillar on a pedestal or, you know, famous or whatever. It's social media. If that went tomorrow, you are nobody. Like, do you know what I mean? So for me, it's like now it's showing up as a good person, attaching my values, and just really showing that side. At the start, I found it very daunting, very anxious, very overwhelmed because I was showing a little bit more. And that's why I utilize my podcast for, and especially my community that I'm building. You'll get to know me a little bit more if you come on my events, if you want to work on yourself or listen to my podcast, but I won't be sharing all that on social media. Like, do you know that way? Like, it's like I show snippets of my life, but then there's other areas as well. Like, do you know that way? So it's learning to protect yourself as well and not giving too much. Like, you know, I do look at, say, the likes of, and I admire them, you know, the likes of the Gen Zs on TikTok. They show every single dip part. That would not be me, because even looking at recording a day in the life, yeah, I do it here and there. It's too overwhelming. Like, I don't want the
Just gonna
phone
say that.
constantly in my face. I want to actually cherish the day as well. But that's second nature to them. Like, do you know what I mean? Where to me, I'm like used to listen to a dial-up modem and a floppy disk. Like, do you know what I mean? So it's like I put up things, but I like to be relatable as well. I like to be relatable. I like to be real. I like to be authentic to myself. And that's one thing I'd even ask, you know, the people that surround me or follow me. I'm like, they'd always mess you being like, you're so real, you're this. And I'm like, okay, it means I'm doing a good job of being who I want to be.
Yeah,
Or being
exactly. I
who I
mean,
am. Being who I am, should I say.
exactly. Yeah, I mean, only recently, actually, I mean, recently, as in a few days ago, I actually set up a private Instagram account just for personal stuff because just for the same thing. I was just chatting to someone and I was like, okay, maybe just some stuff. I just, well, I don't put up that much personal stuff anyway, but then I said, you know what, fuck it, I'll just go and set up a personal one just for family and close friends and just so they can, you know, sometimes I want to put up stuff with my kids and stuff like that, and I'll just keep it to there. But I'm very lucky as well as that I don't really get any negative comments or stuff as well. I find the community on Instagram kind of quite positive, but also that helps as well as when you filter out the stuff you don't want to see. So that's obviously the content you put out, but the content you take in.
Oh
I just feel,
yeah,
I filter it
huge.
all out anyway, you know?
Yeah, a big thing is as well is like it's okay to mute people. Like you can still be in the background. It's okay to unfollow people. The way I see it is like you're still supporting them. Now this doesn't this means across the board globally, like as in accounts, whether it's whatever it is. But like it's okay. Think of it as a spring clean. Like, you know, you're gonna grow through your life and your outlook, your perspective, your relatability, the people, it's gonna be different. And it's okay if you don't relate to certain people. Even me, you might be like, right, Emma, I don't relate to you anymore. Fine. Bye. Do you know what I mean? And that's okay because some people like tea, some people like coffee, some people don't like caffeine, full stop. And that's okay. Don't take that personally. You know what I mean? But you want to like what you're taking in and what you're consuming has to be lighting you up and has to be making you feel good. So if I was looking at Victoria's Secret models, I'd be depressed on my head. Do you know what I mean? Like,
Yeah.
but if I relate to that and I, you know, if I relate to that, then that's okay. But for me, I want to be really consuming content that is uplifting. You know, there's relatable podcasts, there's quotes, a bit of maybe fashion in there, same body type. Like it's filtering out what do I want to consume as well, because you, again, you have a choice on how you feel.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And what do you like? How do you find doing the podcast? Is it like obviously your podcast called Empower with Emma? I'm sure everyone knows that, but we say it anyway. But do you find that quite therapeutic doing that? I know you said the journaling as well, and obviously I've do a bit of blogging, and that's kind of quite therapeutic as well. But do you find the podcasting is?
Yeah, I love it. And it's mad. Like, I still have to be a bit nervous when I'm doing podcasts. I'm not gonna lie, because we all prepare. You probably get this as well. You have your questions, you write it out, but you're like, how's this gonna fucking go? Like, do you know what I mean? And then you're like, but it's so nice to hear, like, just to have conversations. You know, we're all on this journey called life, which I say. Everyone has some sort of story, you know, and that's why I think the podcast world is so amazing and inspiring because people share stories, they share their life, they share insights that you would never imagine. And it's such a powerful tool that not only that I've learned from, but I'm learning to express myself from and show my true self and talk about things and connect with other people and you know, for people to relate, it's a real safe. It's a safe space. It's a really good community, the podcast world, I think, because you're letting people see that different side and have those conversations that, like, you know, people might not have with their friends, their parents, their relationships, or whatever. And I love to have that. And you learn so much. You really pick up on other people, what they're about, what their sayings are, what their mantras are. You know, how they show up, their routines, and then you're like, oh my God. I might add that in because at the end of the day, like we all have to inspire and help people. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, that's what our whole sole purpose, I think, on earth is. Like, we have to be kind to each other. We have to help each other, inspire each other. Like, there's enough to go around. Do you know that way? And I think it's so nice that when you're in that podcast world and that community as well, you know, just reach out. You know what I mean? Like, even if you had hundreds of thousands of followers, they're still a human. They're still a normal person.
Yeah, exactly. But you do solo podcasts as well. How do you find on them?
They'd be a bit daunting, I'm not gonna lie, because a lot of work goes into them. The amount of people that message me going, I love your solo ones, because I'm talking for nearly a half an hour by myself. So it's a lot, it's not bouncy back. And I always talk about topics that are relatable. So my last podcast, which was last week, was talking about starting from scratch and being 37 and doing it all again, being single, moving home. You know, things I've learned along the way, solo traveling, you know, how I'm developing myself, you know, so much. And that's what people want to hear. They want to hear all that, like that rawness, how you're navigating through life.
Yeah, they do actually. Yeah, I've done a few solo ones, but I keep on saying I'll do more. But I kind of like
Bite the
doing
bullet,
the
bite the bullet.
fight to pull them. But I don't know. I kind of like I'd have guests lined up, and I've got guests like I want to talk to as well. So I kind of find, I suppose the way I do it is I kind of leave the blog up. The blog is my story, and in the podcast is I give it up to the guests and I let them share their story. And I share mine on the blog a little bit, so that's why I'm doing it. But I might do a few more. But a few of my friends have gone on your walks and your hikes that you do, and I mean, they
Ah,
loved them. I was
love
actually
that.
watching. I was watching one of your videos the other day, and I was like, I know her. And I screenshotted the picture and I sent it to her. I was like, I can see you.
I love that. I know girls are amazing. And I always say, I'm like, I have a community of a lot of women, and it's like, is it just women only? I'm like, no, men can come
I was
too.
going to
Like, it's
ask you
just
that. Okay.
men can always come. It's not, obviously, I'm all about empowering women, but it doesn't mean that you can't come as well. But I think it's because, like, it's just kind of grown with women. But you never know. I'm like, bring your partners, bring your dads, bring your brothers. I don't care. But I think nearly the women love it. Women just love to have chats and, like, but that's the thing, it's just to get out and it's to connect with people. So even like I run mindfulness walks most months, and I have like events outdoors or indoors. And for me, it's like it's having a community of like-minded people, because when I was younger as well, like I didn't have that, and we didn't talk about things. We're now 20 years on from that, it's like I'm growing that, and I'm showing up for that girl that didn't have that, and I want others to feel that as well.
I totally agree, actually. I mean, just I was the same. We just didn't have so much when we were younger, as in like awareness and obviously didn't have social media, but a lot of stuff just wasn't talked about. And I think now that there is, it just kind of it does help so much. I mean, obviously it's not there yet, but it does help. But what does your walks entail, or your hikes now? Is it like little talks, or is it just like is it people just getting to share with each other, or how do you manage it?
Oh no, there's more to that, because people, I had some people who were like, oh, can I just join in? I'm like, of course you can, but like you can book in via my website, because it's not just a walk. This is the thing, it's not a walk, you get so much more. So obviously I'm there, I hold space for you for 2 hours, and I'd always talk about mindfulness. I give a quick chat, I give you tips, I give you tricks, I give you like insights, I give you tools, and then we get walking. And then we get out into nature. I tap into our senses. And then at the end of the walk, I always bring it into like a gorgeous, I say, like I find a little forest area, and then I do a meditation. I pull out affirmation cards. I give you treats and a bit of water. So, like, I put a lot of work into it. It's not just like, oh, we're going for a walk. It's like you're interacting with people. I'm holding space as a community. You're learning things about, mindfulness. You're connecting, obviously, like with me, and you're getting like to have really nice conversations with other people outdoors. So, yeah, that's what I offer as well on my walk.
And when are they? You said once a month, or is it
I
more than
run them
that?
once a month. So there, I have one actually on the 27th of January, but we're doing the Glendalough Sphinx Trail. So it's a little bit longer than
Nice.
normal. And then I do have like classes indoors, and I have a workshop, but that's like sold out. I'm very grateful. But, and then I would have done with some more. Like January's been mental for me, but I know. But then February, like I said to you, I'm going traveling. I'm connecting back with myself. I'm upskilling myself. I'm having that time out. And that's when I find when we take those time, when we can take a little time out. I don't mean just to go solo traveling, whether it could be a break for an hour for a walk, a night stay away, a solo break, whatever it is. That's the time you really get to like quieten down and tap into yourself, which I love. And I experienced so much of last year when I was in Bali. And that's when my creative side as well come. I'm like, oh my God, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. So I'm looking forward to that, because when I come home, I want to be planning like weekend retreats and, other workshops as well, because like you can really feel the momentum of that. And like I said, men are more than welcome to join, but it's about having that community that, of being vulnerable, open up, talking about things, connecting to yourself, discovering yourself, not being afraid, to being curious about who you are.
You'd be amazed. Like I know a few people who have gone on different types of retreats, and they all say the same thing. Like they just come back feeling so much more kind of in touch with themselves and just understanding themselves a little bit better. I haven't gone on one, but I actually will, because you can put all this work into yourself, but I think sometimes it's really good to just be vulnerable and let yourself go and just be present sometimes,
Yeah, I
But then
agree. And I even me, like I give back to like as and I love going on retreats or, a day where there's like a wellness day, because I'm the one that hosts them. But now I always make sure to fill my cup up as well. And that's really
Yeah.
important. You have to fill your cup, because you can't pour from an empty cup.
Yeah, exactly. And come here, how are you in yourself now? So obviously, I mean, you talked about earlier on you retrained, and I did as well. And I think obviously it's really important to find something that you're passionate about. And it can like I still have setbacks, and I still have days where I'm not great. But in general, man, my mindset is much better in myself. How are you now on day to day? Will you still have a few little setbacks here and there, or are you just
Yeah,
Your mind
like
is so
Christmas
mentally
time.
better.
Oh yeah, well, at Christmas time, it was my first Christmas single in
Right.
15 years. And that's a lot, like, where it's that sense and that feeling of you're not alone, but you're lonely, and you're so used to that. Now, even though I have great family and friends and stuff like that, it is still lonely, and I'm grateful I have those people, but doesn't mean I can't help how I feel. And I remember, like, after Christmas Day, I was, busy, was around with my family, my friends. And then Stevens' Day, I don't like, because unless you have plans, you're just sitting in. So for 2 days, I was just in the apartment, and I just was crying. Like I was like, this is horrible. I just want to feel so different. But I had to sit in it, and it was just ringing my mom, letting go, talking to who I needed to talk to, getting out for a walk. And I let myself be in that for 2 days. And I was like, my mom was like, Christmas, will pass. And then I was like, okay, how do I want to change this? So I started reaching out to friends and planning things, being like, what are you doing over the next few days? Do you want to get coffee? Do you want to go for a walk? Do you want to get a hike or a swim? Doing all the things that nourish my soul on top of my friends and just my support network. And then I started putting little plans in place. And every day, just I always say, even if you're a little 1% better, just checking in on myself, journaling, and just doing wholesome good things to lift my spirits as well, and talk about it. Where now I do feel I'm not gonna be like I'm on cloud nine. I'm like, I do feel a lot better, and thank God Christmas has passed. I'm not gonna lie, but it was a very hard Christmas for me. I'm very, very hard, and I was quite vulnerable on my socials about that. I was like, this is my first Christmas, and it's hard, and it's so many women were coming back being like, I'm the exact same. Even men came back as well. And I'm like, yeah, like this is the thing. Like when you're so conditioned and you're used to being in a relationship for nearly over half, like under half my life, it's mad. Like, do you know what I mean? And it's just, it's that feeling of like you are on your own now. Like, that way. But I know I had to do that for me. I had to go through that for me. I had to go through that wave. But I'm very vulnerable, and I talk about this as well. And that's why I'm relatable, because I'm like, this is the reality of life. It's not like, oh my God, Christmas time, But then it's like, you know what I mean? Like where you're really like upset and you're crying and you're down. Like it's a roller coaster for people as well. Majority of people, well, not majority, a lot of people don't like Christmas because it brings up too much for them. Some people love it. But then the social media side of it all is like aesthetic and gorgeous. Don't get me wrong, I do like nice photos, but then I will come on and be like, there you go, there's a photo of me roaring crying, like,
There's the back of the tree when there's nothing on it,
yeah
and you know what I
yeah
mean? It's always just the front of the tree that the best looking bit,
shiny
'cause.
penny, gorgeous glam. But then I will be relatable and be like, I will put up some things and be like, I've had a hard two time, or I was in London there the weekend and I was like, I'm finally, starting to feel myself. I'm starting to feel a bit like more like sass back. And like one or two people messaged me, my followers, bless them. It was like, you're getting your mojo back, girl. I was like, oh, I love that my followers even notice these things. And I'm like, these are great.
I know, yeah. But it's good that, isn't it, when sometimes you don't notice it and other people do? Because, like, I had not a great Christmas either. Like, I mean, I find December quite difficult, and I found this Christmas quite hard, to be honest. And I was upset quite a few times, to be honest, over Christmas. And I had nice times as well, but I do find it quite difficult as well. And I actually am glad it's kind of over, to be honest.
Bring it together, Keith.
Yeah, if we're sitting around a glass of wine
Fucking
crying.
roller coaster, jump on. I was like Ronan Keating, laugh is a roll.
But it does be a bit like that, doesn't it? But how are you with,
Oh.
like, if you just sit around, how's your mind? As in, does your mind start to, like,
Yeah.
boil a little bit, or does it? Yeah,
Yeah.
mine does.
Yeah. Mine does. If I'm just sitting around for a few days, I'm like, I can't do that. Like I like to chill. I like to be content, but I like to have other things in play as well. Like I know that for my mind. Some people can sit there and can chill out day in, day out, and that's fine. I can't do that. It's not good for my mind. But I'm not a busy bee, if you get me. Like today I went to my yoga, I done that. I have work to do. I actually do have things to do, and I have my class tomorrow, and then I like to have things in play most days. And then one day you could have a chill day, and that's okay. You know what I mean? You can do what you want, but like I need to have some sort of structure.
Yeah, I think like I remember my therapist used to say that to me, she probably still does say it to me, like people kind of who struggle with anxiety and stuff, or any type of mental health struggles, really need structure in place. Like if you're gonna have a rest day, it's nearly good to know the rest day is coming, rather than because you can feel because you can kind of feel a bit overwhelmed, or you can kind of feel things aren't in your control. Because a lot of things in your life aren't in control. Certain things in my life aren't in control at the moment, and that can get you down.
Yeah, big time. And I never knew. I'd say probably since COVID, pre-COVID. I think everyone has some sort of anxiety. That's being honest about anything.
Mm.
I didn't know how much I was high-functioning anxiety, I'd say.
Right, yeah. For most
of life. So I didn't know that was a thing. Like, I just thought I was vibrating, where now I do know. I have to have things in play in order for me to know. So if I have a rest day, I need to know, okay, when is that rest day? But my rest day will be like getting out for a walk in nature, seeing my grandmother. I still am doing things, but then I will come back and rest and watch a movie. Do you get me? I'm allowing
myself. Just form of a calming day as well.
Yeah, a calming day. Not like I couldn't just sit in and like do nothing for the day. Like, you know what I mean? I have to have even one or two things like to do, and that's okay. But I'm trying to allow myself to get better at that. That's being honest, because I've went from full speed, full throttle, 48 hours and 24 hours to learning to slow down and be calm. It's a process. It's not just something you flip a switch and be like, right, I'm waking up, I'm ready to chill. No, you have to. It's a process, and it's about the compassion. It's about the kindness. It's about being very mindful of yourself and always checking in on how you feel and what you need.
Yeah, that's exactly it, isn't it? I mean, it can be hard to go from high functioning high functioning anxiety too slowing down. As you said, it's a process. But I suppose even what you said a little while ago about when I asked you about, you know, kind of your routines in the morning, that's having giving yourself a bit of control, isn't it? A control in the morning and a control at night time.
Yeah, and even like little things, like, so even coming out of COVID, I would have had social anxiety. Like, I nearly was having panic attacks on the phone.
Oh yeah.
And I was like, I can't cope with this. But I do think a lot of people did have this as well. And but now as you do get older, my going out, I do like going out and socializing, but I like to be in control of my environment. I'm like, I know where I'm going, I know what's gonna be like, and blah blah blah. But then I need, like, even my mom was telling me about this, like, I need an escape plan. Like, I need to know when I'm going, my taxi's ordered, because otherwise, a while ago, like last year, I had a really, really bad panic attack, and I didn't know why it was coming up into my chest, because everything was out of my control. I didn't know when I was gonna get a taxi, you know, having a few drinks and all this. I was like, this. I might have sensory as well. I hate being overstimulated. So I can't, I'm like my sister just slagged me, and I'm like, no, I remember my therapist being like, Emma, it sounds like you've sensory processing disorder. And I'm like, yeah, I 100% do. Like all these little things, I'm like, it's too noisy. Or if I walk into a coffee shop and there's people talking loudly and the coffee machine's gone, there's music, I'm like, I'm too stimulated here. I have to go.
I'm saying it gets quite overwhelming, doesn't it?
Yeah.
I'm exactly the same.
But I never knew what that was. People would be like, you're grand. I'm like, but I don't feel grand. And that's what happened to me last year. And it was building and building and building, and it festered. And I got in the door and I was roaring, crying, shaking, hyperventilating. So then I was talking to my mom about it. My mom would be the same. It's like similar. And she was like, Emma, you need to have, and my therapist as well, she was like, you need to have things in play. You know, you need to control yourself, your environment, who's there, what time you're going, set an alarm on your phone. And that's what, like, I know when I'm going out. So I was going out at Christmas time, but I knew I was going out with, I hate big, you know, like, not 20 of us going out. But then I'd be like, I have my taxi pre-ordered to leave at a certain time. So I know my time limit. I know where I'm going. And honestly, like, that's what I have to do. Like, it is probably control, but I'm controlling me and how I'm showing up.
Because I
have anxiety and panic attacks. Like, I don't know where it's coming from, but it's just, I'm very sensitive as well, especially the work you're doing. And the work I'm doing as well, and energy and everything, I'm my senses are increasing a lot more. But to anyone who's listening here, if you feel like that as well, it's like, no, you're normal, no, it's okay, but you can control that. So I've learned to control that, where I thought I couldn't. I thought I was like, oh, that's just a night out, that's just how I feel. But now when I have those little things in play, I have a good time, I know my cutoff point, and I'm not feeling the anxiety the next day.
Yeah. Do you know what you mentioned about the escape plan? Just it kind of dawned on me. We talked about that the last time, and that actually inspired me. I did a blog on that then, I think a few days later, about, and because I think the way I looked at it was that's part of setting boundaries, and it's having compassion for yourself, and it's
big time.
It's having control, but it's a good control, obviously. Yeah, I did a blog on that actually about having, you know, an escape plan and knowing your
Yeah.
limit. And yeah, I just that's a brilliant point actually, is even if you're going out, you still want to have a little bit of control for yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah, and it's because what'll happen is then is that you'll get so overwhelmed you won't want to go again, and then that's when the old Emma, old Keith probably would have been like, not doing that again. You know what I mean? You start kind of backing away then and
That's, yeah,
start to hide away.
100%. That's me all over. And then I retreat and I'm like, I can't cope. So a big thing for me is like, I don't go out loads. I love going for like a glass of wine or a drink. I don't like to go out into town because then it's the pressure of you have to have a good night. You have to meet here. You have to do this. So I'm like, oh. And as you get older, like, you know yourself. But
What do
yeah,
you mean you
having
know yourself? Speak for yourself.
that.
I'm only 27.
Yeah, but like, you know what I mean? But it's having a good, no, it's learning to have a good time as well, but knowing your limits is a big thing. Knowing your limits, not pushing yourself, because that's what happened to me. I was pushing myself, being like, oh, I'll just go with the flow and I'm out. There's certain things where I can go with the flow, and then there's certain things I cannot go with the flow, or else I have repercussions, and it's knowing the repercussions of it. So it's controlling that.
Yeah, that's exactly it. I'm exactly the same. Right, we're probably running out of time. I think we've probably covered as much as we got through the last time. I can't remember, but I'm probably did. Before we go, Emma, I'm just checking. I have hit record, so we're all good this time. Do you want to give anything a shout out? Do you want to give your socials or anything a mention while we're here?
Well, first of all, thank you so much for having me on. It's always a pleasure, and thank you. I love coming on other people's podcasts as well. So thank you so much. I'm very
You're
grateful.
welcome.
And for anyone who's listening, you can follow me at Emma Kehoe, EmmaKehoe, or my Empower with Emma page. And I have all details as well for any of my services, workshops, classes over on my website at www.empowerwithemma.com.
Brilliant. Amazing. And thank you
Thank you
so
so
much for
much.
coming on. Yeah, we did it this time. I hope, Jesus Christ, I don't
Yeah,
say that,
you
Keith.
did. I can see it up there, the red dot and the time. So you did it.
Have you? Oh, okay, I didn't know you could see that. Well, that's great. Right, let's get out of here
Sorry.
before
Shit happens.
while
Let's get
everything is
over
okay.
it.
Yeah,
Yeah.
exactly. Yeah. Right, guys, there's
All
another
right.
episode of the Endless Spiral Podcast. Thanks, Emma. See you
Bye.
later.
Have a good day. See you, Keith.
See ya. Bye.
Thank you.